get started. All right. Like to be on time. Yep, punctual. You know. And I always remember, you know, we got a lot of guys that have been in the military, right? And you always got to be punctual. Pastor was in the Army. Who else was in the Army? Anybody else serve in the Army? All right. Yeah? Brother Daryl? All right. Well, you know, the Army is interesting because, you know, we're celebrating the 249th year of American independence, but we're celebrating the 250th year of the United States Army. So they were, you know, the United States never existed for even one second as an independent nation without the U.S. Army. So praise the Lord for that. All right. And now that our last Army veteran just walked into the room, we'll go ahead and get started with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this nation and the 249th year of American independence. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this year for our country. Bless this time of Sunday school. Help me, Lord, to just really teach the truth of your word. And just pray that everything that is said and done here this morning would be pleasing to you. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. So if you want to turn there, and that's where we're going to spend a lot of our time today. I'm going to be reading the first 8 verses in that chapter. So today we're in lesson 6 of this series, An Activated Progress. That is the title of this lesson. And I would say, you know, although today's lesson is called An Activated Progress, I want to remind you that this is lesson 6 of a series of lessons entitled Walking Through Fire, A Study from 1 Peter on the Trial of Your Faith. And, you know, your faith needs to be growing. You need to be spiritually growing. And your faith needs to be growing as well. And your faith will be tested. Okay? So when you became a Christian, it doesn't mean that, ooh, life's all going to be really easy. Okay? No, you're going to have some times where your faith is going to be tested. And this is the place where we come to be equipped and prepared to deal with that testing. Okay? Because of the truth of God's word, and that's what we need. So we're going to look at, as I say, 1 Peter chapter 2, and starting in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So Jesus is that stone. He is that cornerstone. You know, the Catholic Church has it wrong. You know, they misinterpret what the Bible says when Jesus said, Peter, you know, upon this rock. He's really putting Peter in his place, and he's saying, upon this rock I will build my church, okay? The church is not built on a man. It's built on the rock of ages, and that's Jesus Christ. So That's something I think everybody needs to understand. Now, notice how in that passage that we read, you know, it's talking about the sincere milk of the word and growth. And, you know, when we first get saved, it's hard sometimes to understand some of the deeper spiritual truths that are being taught in God's word. That's why it's important to come to Sunday school. It's important to be in church so that eventually, you know, set aside the milk. Now you want some meat. Okay, and that's what we need to strive for. And, you know, that process of, I think, spiritual growth, which is reflected in our lives, you know, that's sanctification. Sanctification, by the way, is not about perfection, okay? But it is about progress, okay? So, you know, when you get saved, it's not like, you know, wow, you know, I am sanctified, you know. No, that process of sanctification begins at salvation. And oftentimes, I think we fall into the temptation of comparing ourselves with, you know, someone else who may be a little further along in their Christian walk. And when we do that, we become discouraged because we feel like we're not measuring up, okay? And what I would say, you know, to anybody that's struggling with that is don't compare yourself to somebody else, okay? Compare yourself to Jesus, okay? Because remember, what is a Christian? What does it mean to be Christian? It's to be Christ-like, right? So, and look, when you compare yourself to him, well, first off, you know, I'm never going to be that sanctified here in this body. So you know that's not going to happen. You will not be perfected until you're with him in glory. So eventually you will be. And either that's going to happen right after you hear the sound of a mighty trumpet, okay, because the rapture, which I think is getting closer all the time, I'm tempted to devolve into a prophecy update, but I'm not going to do that, all right? But it's something to get excited about. Or if the Lord tarries, you know, someday life is going to leave your body and you're going to be carried by the angels into heaven, into the presence of your Lord and Savior, and that's when you'll be perfected. But we're not going to achieve perfection in this body. But we need to continue to follow a process of sanctification. So the question is not, are you perfect? The question is, are you making progress? And we can make some progress today in our relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church, he said this. He said, sanctification is the process by which we are made holy. And it is the work of God in us, not merely a change in our standing before him, but a real transformation in our hearts and lives. Jonathan Edwards, who was an American preacher and theologian in the 1700s, he put it this way. He said, true sanctification is a divine work. It is God who plants the seeds of holiness in the heart and he who brings them to full growth. Okay? And I'm glad that our example, our heavenly example, he is holy. He is without sin, okay? And he doesn't compromise with sin, all right? And this, by the way, this is a point, you know, when you're witnessing to somebody, and you know how it is, you know, a lot of people in the world, they don't understand, you know, what it means to be saved or how to get saved, okay? And they think that, well, you know, I mean, I'm a good person, you know? And they might be, you know, there's a lot of good people in hell right now, okay? A lot of good people in hell. So being a good person is not what gets you to heaven. And, you know, what I always, you know, will tell people is, you know, God does not compromise with sin. And there's, you know, a couple of ways we know this from Scripture. Number one, the entire human race fell in Adam because of one sin. Okay? God flooded the world and only saved 8 people out of it. So this idea that there's, you know, many ways to get to heaven, I'm sorry, but that's not true. Okay, that's the devil coming up with that. So, It's interesting, you know, we love the technology of our day because it puts success at our fingertips, and things can be accessed and accomplished instantly, a lot faster than, you know, when I was young. And, you know, we've got the computer, we've got the microwave oven, which, by the way, I've never used my brand new stove that I bought a year and a half ago, but my $50 microwave gets used all the time, okay? And, you know, so we have all these modern conveniences that that make for instant gratification of the desires and needs that we have. Well, you know, the Christian life involves an instantaneous and radical transformation when we trust Christ as Savior. We are immediately changed from a sinner to a saint. I heard a preacher one time say, you're either a saint or you ain't, you know? And which is, by the way, that reminds me, I had a discussion one time. I was trying to witness to a person who's Catholic. And this was at the time, I think, one of these last few popes, you know, had just been elected by the College of Cardinals, you know, and the white smoke went up and all the rest of it. And they were talking about, you know, we have saints in the Catholic Church, you know, and you have to get voted on to be a saint in the Catholic Church. And I said, well, you know what? I says, you know, how would you like to meet a living saint? I said, what do you mean? And I says, well, I'm a saint, you know, I'm a saint, and I didn't get one vote from the College of Cardinals. Okay, not one. Okay, because I became a saint, I believe it was December 13th of 1981. Okay, when I became a saint. And I hopefully everyone here, and I believe this is true, that you remember that time in your life where you became a saint. And praise the Lord, aren't you happy for that? Okay. We have a joy in our hearts that the world just doesn't have and cannot have until they come to know Jesus as Savior. But at that time, when we were instantly changed, our eternal destiny was altered. You are on your way to hell, okay? Because we live in a fallen world, and you were on your way to hell, but now Your whole direction, your ultimate destiny has been radically changed. So that happened right away, but sanctification began on that day, but it continues even to this day, okay? Sanctification is that process that begins at salvation and is not completed until glorification. The changes that take place are not instantaneous, but rather it's a process that the Holy Spirit accomplishes through us as we yield to Him daily. Did you have a comment, brother? No, no. No, that's good. And for the sake of those that are viewing, that will be viewing online, you know, so Brother Darrell said that sanctification, it's not a straight line from where we are here to glorification. It's a jagged line, okay? And you know, we're still in the flesh, right? I mean, we still have our old human nature that we struggle with. And, you know, hopefully more days than not, you know, you're kind of on the winning side of that battle. But, you know, sometimes we fail. We're disappointed with ourselves. The other thing I would tell you this is, you know, just kind of my casual observation, but it just seems like the more sanctified you become, the more unhappy with yourself you are when you think about what you still need to improve on. And I just think that's because, you know, the closer we get to the light, the more sin gets exposed in our lives, okay? So sometimes I think, you know, if you're not happy with yourself, that's probably a good sign, okay? Yes, Brother Mel. Absolutely. Yes, Brother Mel said, the more unhappy you are with yourself, the more joyful you are with Christ. Okay, so, and that's something we need to keep in mind. You know, I've had you know, similar conversations with friends, with family members, you know, that are kind of struggling, and you know, and sometimes, by the way, sometimes the devil will use sin in your life to get you to doubt your salvation, especially in newer Christians. Okay, he tries to do that because when you got saved, I mean, the devil lost a major battle. Okay. And then you know, you take Walter here. Not only did he get saved, but then he did something else that really upset the devil. He went and got baptized, okay? Because that is a big concern to the devil, because now he's, you know, he's likely to take other steps in obedience to God. And the worst thing that, from the devil's standpoint, is that Walter might tell somebody about Christ and they get saved, okay? Like Walter has a burden for his brother Tristan, for example, and he's got a brother, Max, as well, and we should be praying for them. So this process of sanctification, it's not always fun and exciting, okay, and it can be grueling and even discouraging at times, but it just requires good old-fashioned discipline, but we must keep the prize in mind. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read from my notes, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. See, because you're not going to win the race if you're not running. You got to get in it. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So with the prize in mind, how can we make progress today in our walk as children of God? Well, first point I would make is that we must depart daily. We have seen this, you know, before, but Peter constantly reminds us that we are in a daily battle. Daily. Satan doesn't attack just once and give up. Okay? And the closer, you know, you walk to the Lord, you know, the more he's going to fight against you. He comes at us with every opportunity that he can, and he takes no holidays, no time off. He is relentless, and he knows that he has but a short time. And gentlemen, it's getting really short, okay? And he's not happy about it because he knows what his ultimate fate is, okay? And just out of vindictiveness, he wants to take as many people with him as possible, okay? So we must be armed for battle continually. Now, one word that was found three times in verse 1 is the word all. You know, for a person to drive a tractor trailer with one tire flat, it's possible, okay? How many of you ever driven a truck? You know, like a big, yeah, I know a couple of you. All right. I haven't, by the way. You know, I always thought, you know, I would love to be a truck driver driving 48 states. I love every part of it except the part about driving the truck, okay? But other than that, you know, I love to travel. But here's the thing. You know, if one of those tires is flat, well, it's going to slow you down for one thing. It's going to heat up, might catch on fire if you just keep driving, right? So you can't do that. I mean, eventually, that flat tire, you know, has got to be changed. And so when we're challenged to lay aside all, we must be careful to lay aside all. In 1 Peter 2:1, it said this, laying aside all malice, all guile, all evil speaking. Not to mention hypocrisies and envies, okay? Those are not good either. Genesis 39:10, and it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. And she refers to Potiphar's wife. Potiphar was a captain of the guard in Pharaoh's government, so to speak, and she was trying to seduce Joseph, and he very wisely resisted that. But daily she came to him, you know, and the devil was using her to get at him. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, it says, "I die daily," just part of it there, and that was written by the Apostle Paul, okay? In other words, he's dying to sin, dying to his flesh, okay? And, you know, again, we don't want to compare ourselves to anybody, but if the Apostle Paul had to die daily, then I think we do too, okay? So he was just a man like us, and God used him to accomplish great things, and he can use you to accomplish great things. Now, soldiers, and I've never been a soldier, but I know a lot of people who were soldiers. Soldiers, they don't fight constantly, okay? But they're always in a mode of readiness for a battle, right? I mean, when you're not fighting, like those of you that are in the Army and some of the other military services, you spend a lot of time training, don't you? Yeah, a lot of time training. So daily preparation in our lives is the key to winning the war against our enemy. Daily preparation. As with Joseph, the temptation will come day by day. How can we be ready? Well, you know, I think a part of our daily preparation is just at a very fundamental level. We need to be in this book on a daily basis, okay? Every day. Are you in God's Word daily, okay? You want to have a relationship with God, you need to listen to him talk to you, okay? And he speaks to you through his Holy Spirit, through the preaching of his word. And we're going to get that this morning. But he also speaks to you through the reading of his word. And you need to be in prayer, okay? Don't tell me that you don't have anything to say to Jesus, okay? To our Father, okay? Because you do. And look, this is communication. It's you listening by reading his word, and it's you speaking, pouring out your heart to him daily, okay? And if you have any decisions in your life that you're grappling with, pray about it. Make every important decision a prayerful decision, okay? A.W. Tozer, who was an American preacher during the early 20th century, he said, "The Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield. We must be prepared for war." Isn't that so true? Back in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, that first part, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile." These first two areas mentioned have to do with our attitude towards others. How do we treat them? Do we want others to fail or to look bad compared to us? Okay, that's a wrong attitude. You know, soldiers, kind of go back and use that example, soldiers in the same army, they don't tear each other down. They don't tear each other down. They're on the same team. And they've learned to depend on each other rather than to destroy each other. The military, I think, would call that unit cohesion. You know, at the start of the American Revolution, Benjamin Franklin said, "We must all stand together, or most assuredly, we will all hang separately." Okay? Yeah, no, they needed to be in cooperation with each other. General of the Army, Omar Nelson Bradley, he said this. He said, "Bravery is the capacity to perform properly, even when scared half to death. It is magnified by the cohesion of the unit standing beside you." Okay? So, you know, this unit cohesion. And by the way, you know, we are a local body of believers here at Harvest Baptist Church, and we need to be united. Okay? We need to be united for God. You know, what is that saying that we have here in America? United we stand, divided we fall. Okay? Well, in this spiritual world, to remain united. All right? And look, you know, we are people. You know, we're all saints here, but we all still have, you know, our flesh, you know. And so if you have, you know, a problem with a brother, you have a problem with a deacon, you have a problem with the pastor, you have a problem, you know, with anybody here, go talk to that person. Go talk to that person, okay? Make it right. I'll tell you what, it takes, you know, maybe a little bit of courage to do that because you don't know how they're going to respond or whatever, okay? But you do that and you make it right with that person, you're going to feel so good afterwards, you know? And the Lord will bless that, I believe. And that just, you know, promotes unity. let me just quickly read Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believing all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know, if the devil can get us to attack each other, then his job becomes a whole lot easier, okay? And it's like, you know, when I was praying earlier today, you know, I really think that, you know, if our churches were more spiritually stronger and more united, this country would be stronger and more united. A lot of our problems as a nation begin in the church. So often we're weakened from within our own ranks so that when Satan launches an all-out attack, we're too weak to fight the battle, okay? This is why church unity is so important. Is there something that is not right today between you and another soldier? Okay. Ask God to help you to seek reconciliation with the troops. You know, I use the soldier analogy, but, you know, the fact is, when you accepted Christ as Savior, okay, you enlisted in the Lord's army. You are all soldiers of the cross. Now, and I've said this before a long time ago, but let me remind you, at least from my perspective, you're more than just a foot soldier, okay? In the United States government, the rank of ambassador is equivalent to a four-star general. You are an ambassador of Christ. The Bible says so. Okay? So that means that in the Lord's army, you're also a general officer. Okay? So think about that. You know, General Hoddy, General Davis, General Leonard. Okay? And so if you're a general officer, then you have a duty to behave like one. You've got a responsibility that you bear. Okay? And so you want to exercise that responsibility. And you have to be strong because why? Because there's younger Christians that need encouragement. You need to be that person to mentor them, to counsel them. You know, you have responsibilities. and then my time is winding down, but we'll just cover one more here. In 1 Peter 2:1, it also says, and hypocrisies. Hypocrisy is probably the leading excuse in people's hearts for their unconverted condition, okay? I knew a guy many years ago. His name was William. He rented a room from me. And he told me, you know, because I would invite him to church all the time, and he would refuse to go. And finally he told me, he said, Dave, the reason why I don't go to church is because there's so many hypocrites there. And I said, well, William, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because after all, if they're hypocrites, they absolutely need to be in church. So if you come to church, I'm sure that you'll feel totally fine. You'll fit in just fine, you know? And So, you know, it's, you know, if somebody is suffering from hypocrisy, this is the place to get it taken care of. But, you know, they've seen something in the life of a believer that is inconsistent with the Word of God, and as a result, they reject Christ. That's why it's important to maintain our testimony, okay? And, you know, our walk is often speaking so loudly that people can't hear what we say, all right? Jesus, by the way, reserved his harshest criticism for hypocrites. You know, you think about that, all right? So we need to be very careful about that. Because here's the thing. The lost people, once they find out that you're a Christian, okay, when you raise that flag and they find out you're a Christian, they're going to hold you to a higher standard than they hold themselves to. Yep, they're going to do that. And so any little chink in your armor, you know, they're going to point that out, okay? Because they don't understand the truth of what, you know, God's Word says that we're talking about today, that when you get saved, you're not perfected immediately. A process of sanctification has begun, but the lost doesn't understand that because the things of God are just, they don't understand it, okay? So we need to be a good testimony and a good witness to them. So I'm going to stop here. I didn't actually even get through everything, right, because I've got from now until Jesus calls us home, and, you know, so I don't know. Maybe I'll get another chance to do this, or maybe I won't. It's up to the Lord. If Jesus tarries his coming, and there's no guarantee that he will, so let's be ready. But if there's any comments, observations, anybody like to make? Yes, Mel. Now, and Mel just made a really good point, okay? You know, it's only because of God's Word that somebody can be led from blindness to light, I think you said. And which is a really good point, because when you're witnessing, remember, you've got to use Scripture, okay? You've got to use Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, you know? And I read through that twice. It doesn't say by the Word of Dave. It doesn't say by the Word of Pastor Cook, okay? By the Word of God. And so you've got to be prepared to show them Scripture, because as Mel said, they're blinded. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can pierce that veil of blindness. Yes, Brother Leonard. Yep, that is so true. God, who spoke the universe into existence, cares about each of us individually, and because of his mercy and his grace, we can be saved and on our way to heaven. And lastly, just as a reminder, as you know, Daryl kind of alluded to when he was speaking earlier, is that, you know, this process of sanctification, you got to do it with God, okay? Stay close to him, be in his word, be in prayer daily. All right, we went a little long. Let's close it out in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word, which is our guiding light. It is our handbook to walk through life and to walk closer to you, Father. And just thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to be ever more sanctified, and help us to be a good witness to others. I ask.